Hey, everybody, it's Matt. Our Growing Greater podcast showcases inspiring stories of innovators, business successes, and transformational projects, and it's all made possible thanks to the support we receive from the team at Kreischer Miller. As a leading independent accounting, tax, and advisory firm serving the Greater Philadelphia and Lehigh Valley areas, the professionals of Kreischer Miller are driven by their mission to serve their clients, their colleagues, and the communities where they operate with passion, integrity, and dedication. The Kreischer Miller team has built a firm that is uniquely responsive to the dynamic needs of private companies, helping business leaders to smoothly transition through growth phases, business cycles, and ownership changes. Kreischer Miller's clients, they quickly adapt and respond to changing market opportunities and challenges. And those characteristics, they drive the professionals at Kreischer Miller who are laser focused on being responsive, decisive, and forward thinking. Learn more at kmco.com. That's kmco.com. And join me in thanking Kreischer Miller for believing in us at Select Greater Philadelphia.
Stories of economic growth, job creation, and business success from across the 11-county community of northern Delaware, southern New Jersey, and southeastern Pennsylvania. Now, here's Matt Gabry.
Traveling on an airplane, it can be stressful. Getting to the airport, checking your luggage, navigating through security, traversing through the terminal to your gate, completing the boarding process, and getting settled into your seat, it can be a lot. Now just imagine completing this process while also managing a significant health issue or requiring specific medical assistance, say for example, for someone with dementia or who's a quadriplegic, or who has experienced an accident while on vacation and needs to fly home for further care. The stress level in those situations, it could be even more substantial. Enter the Flying Angels. This team of trained medical professionals provide non-emergency medical transport anywhere in the world on commercial airlines. Flying Angels is a more cost-effective and practical alternative to what is known as Air Ambulance Services. Bob Batchelor, Managing Director of Flying Angels, which was founded and is headquartered right here in Greater Philadelphia, he joins us on this episode of Growing Greater. And here, Bob shares with us how Flying Angels is distinct from other services.
Well, what we do is we're kind of a unique service, and we get mixed up with some other services occasionally. People tend to think of Angel Flight, which is the organization of private pilots who fly patients around locally for cancer treatment. What we do at Flying Angels is a bit different. We have doctors and nurses around the country and actually around the world who provide medical assistance to people on commercial airlines. So we'll have one of our staff, a doctor or nurse, flying with a patient, be it somebody as simple as grandma has got some dementia, up to a patient on ventilators, on international transports, all on the commercial carriers like Delta, United, Lufthansa, and any other airline around the country, around the world.
And these are folks who are going to be traveling anyway, right? I suspect on commercial airlines, and they need a little bit of extra TLC because of a unique health condition, or maybe it's not so unique of a health condition, but it's a health condition that they would feel better having somebody with them who's trained as a medical professional.
That's exactly right. In some of our simpler cases, a family may just have a grandmother who's down in Florida, who has some dementia, who maybe has some mobility problems, has oxygen dependency, and they want to bring her up here to Philadelphia or anywhere else in the country, and the family's not comfortable transporting them themselves. They'll often call us, and one of our staff will go and fly with the patient and bring them up. And at the other extreme, we actually have people who are really quite acute. We have a patient in France, got a call this morning, had a pelvic fracture while riding a bike in Nice, France, and needs to be brought back to the United States. And she's going to need some pretty intensive medical care. And we're going to fly her on a Lufthansa flight on a stretcher, bring her back all the way to the Bay Area in San Francisco.
And the advantage to all this is it's much more affordable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people are hearing stories today about the expensive cost of air ambulance. People are getting stuck with exorbitant bills. What I did when we launched Flying Angels was the goal of setting out for a cost-effective alternative, a way to transport people that was actually affordable. It's quite literally a fraction of the cost of putting somebody on an air ambulance. Bringing somebody overseas is tens of thousands of dollars, not hundreds of thousands of dollars. I often know that when somebody asks me how much it is to bring somebody back from India or take somebody to India, and I tell them it's going to be around $30,000, and they say, is that all? With great shock in their voice. I know the people they were talking to prior to this were air ambulance companies, and they were probably getting quotes of, you know, $300,000.
Right, yeah. So it's all relative.
It is all relative, yes.
Totally. So I want to come back to something you just mentioned a moment ago, when you launched Flying Angels.
Mm-hmm.
So how long has the shop been around? And I'm really intrigued by this service that you and your team provide. So I'm really curious about how long your shop has been around, and is there a Flying Angels in other parts of the country and other parts of the world? Because we're privileged to have you operating right here in Philadelphia out of an office space adjacent to Philadelphia International Airport. So take us back to that kitchen table conversation that you had when you decided to launch this organization.
Well, it actually starts a long time ago. I've been a nurse now for over 25 years. And I've always wanted to be a flight nurse. I'm a typical guy. I immediately came out of nursing school and went into the ICUs and the traumas and the burns. I think I've probably worked in every ICU on Broad Street all the way from Abington down to Methodist Hospital over the course of the years. But I wanted to be a flight nurse because I'm a guy and that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, being in Philadelphia, there are not that many helicopter programs for the number of nurses that are here. I mean, we have terrific programs, but we also have, you know, half a dozen level one trauma centers within a 10-mile range. So there's not that great need. Well, about 14 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to help transport his grandfather from Florida up to Toronto. He was an old curmudgeon, had some dementia, and I said, sure, I'll do that. That sounds like fun. So I fly down to Florida, pick him up. He's a bit of a curmudgeon, but still got him on the plane.
Makes the flight extra interesting.
Absolutely. And to be fair, it was flying in first class. First time I'd ever flown in first class, and that's fun too.
Cool.
So I'm sitting there in first class with my patient next to me. I'm sitting there reading SkyMall, and everything's going fine up until my patient stands up and starts shouting, help, help, I'm being kidnapped, I'm being kidnapped.
That's great.
Well, this was just not long after 9/11.
Right.
So, you know, people just had no sense of humor on airplanes anymore.
Right.
So I did what any good nurse would do. I just gave him a shot of sedative right through his pant leg, sat him down and said, oh, I just had a bad dream. And, you know, took him to the hospital. He was still sound asleep when I got him there. I said, boy, this is what I want to do. This is absolutely my calling. And I've been doing that now for about 14 years. Flying Angels has been in existence as its own entity since 2016. We now have nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists all across the country and all around the world. And we're one of the few that has overseas resources.
Interesting. So I want to come back to the example you just shared about your flight from Florida, Toronto, first class, curmudgeon type of patient. Do you inform the crew of who you are and what you're doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a very, very strict policy at Flying Angels that not only when we're flying with a patient that we need to identify ourselves to the crew and our patient within the restrictions of HIPAA. We can't go into too much detail about the patient, but we'll give them a brief overview.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when we're deadheading back or flying back, we're always wearing our crew badges and we always introduce ourselves to the crew and let them know that we're at their disposal in the event that there is some kind of medical emergency on the flight. And even when we're traveling with the patients, we're at the crew's disposal only because if there is a medical emergency with another passenger, we don't want to have a flight diversion or something like that if we can facilitate preventing that. And I've been in several cases over the course of the last 14 years where there have been medical emergencies that, you know, that I was able to intervene in, and our team has done that on multiple times. That has prevented a diversion of an aircraft.
That makes sense. And the whole idea of identifying yourself to the flight crew about who you are and who your patient is within, again, appropriate HIPAA guidelines makes really good sense as well. For the exact example you just gave, where you may have a patient who's challenged with dementia or other kinds of issues and creates some sort of situation that could cause other passengers or the crew to say, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And the fact that you identify ahead of time helps the crew to understand, oh, you know, this patient's in good hands with this trained medical professional.
You know, one of the rules with air travel is you never, ever want to surprise an air crew with anything.
Yeah.
So we go to great lengths to always let the airlines know who we're bringing on in advance, what the equipment is coming on. We recently did a trip out of Honolulu with a patient who was on a ventilator, and he was quadriplegic as a result of a spinal cord injury. So we had a plethora of equipment. We had one of our flight nurses. We had a flight respiratory therapist. We had equipment, ventilators, suction machines, oxygen, batteries. You know, we're probably talking 150 pounds of equipment just for this patient. So, you know, not only do we let the airline know, we let the ground crew know, we let the gate agents know in advance pretty much exactly what we're going to have. So when we get to the airport, we'll have an airline representative actually meet us there and kind of walk us all the way through to the plane. So they know exactly what we need, what we're bringing.
So are there peer organizations like Flying Angels in other cities in this country or in other parts of the world?
There are a few companies in Florida that do what we do. We're the only one that I'm aware of with a national reach. We're the only one who has a presence all across the country.
And I'll tell you why I'm asking. And I mentioned before, I'm intrigued by this whole concept. Mm-hmm. It's really smart, actually, for a variety of reasons, including cost efficiency, quality of life in terms of a traumatic trip for some folks, and compassion for an individual who's experiencing a health challenge. And where I'm going with all this is, what did people do before? I mean, how did this situation get addressed prior to Flying Angels, or, you know, even prior to your friend approaching you and saying, hey, Bob, I know you're a nurse. Mm-hmm. How would you feel about flying with my grandfather?
Anybody who's flown on airlines has probably seen people getting on the aircraft and they're imagining themselves, how in the world is this person being allowed on an airplane?
Mm-hmm.
And I know even the air crew wonders that sometimes. As a result of, let's say, the Air Carrier Access Act, it's very hard for an airline to deny boarding for somebody on an aircraft. And it does drive the airlines nuts when people just show up at the door of the aircraft, you know, with all of these needs. So to answer your question, in many cases, you know, a hospital who was trying to send somebody home might send one of their staff with the person, although my attorney friends, you know, always cringe at the liability issues are for that. Or they may just get a friend, you know, who is a nurse or is an aide to go with them. You know, we're one of the first to actually provide an organized service with logistical support to handle the transport bedside to bedside.
You had shared an example of a story of a young lady in Nice, France, mm-hmm. who had an accident mm-hmm. and has a fractured pelvis. Mm-hmm. And your team is helping to escort her back from France to the United States. How did she hear about you? Are you aware of how individuals kind of discover this service that is available?
Well, hopefully the ones who are finding us internationally are actually being referred to us by the travel insurance companies that we support. And I don't have a dog in the hunt as to which insurance company they buy, but one of the things that I'm always saying is, if you're going to go overseas, make sure you buy a good medical travel insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that expensive, and they will pay to fly you back to the United States, and they'll cover whatever costs are. A few weeks ago, got a call that there was a young kid who sustained a spinal cord injury in Fiji, and he was on a ventilator, and he was in pretty bad shape. They had medevaced him to Singapore, and then he was in a very nice hospital there, but they wanted to bring him back to the United States, obviously. So my team, one of our flight docs and myself, flew out to Singapore, and we actually brought him back on a Lufthansa flight in what they call a PTC. It's a patient transport compartment. It's actually an ICU pod that they build right in the middle of their aircraft. So we took an Airbus A380 from Singapore to Frankfurt, and then a 747 from Frankfurt to Boston. I think the total cost of the insurance company was probably all told about $130,000 for the trip. But it was covered because, you know, this kid had travel insurance. And
right.
It breaks my heart sometimes when we do get calls from people who, you know, had a loved one who was on vacation and wound up having some injury or something happened to him. And my first question is, well, do they have travel insurance? Mm-hmm. And if they do, they just contact their travel insurance company and hopefully their travel insurance company will reach out to us.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then we're obviously the best option to get them back.
Well, you're the best option regardless. It's just a matter of who's paying for it.
That is true. But, you know, there are cases where somebody needs an air ambulance, you know, and at the risk of oversimplification, we do a lot of traumatic brain injuries. We mm-hmm. do a lot of spinal cord injury transports to the terrific rehabilitation hospitals, you know, all across the country. Craig Hospital out in Denver, Shepherd Center down in Atlanta, our rehab facilities right here in Philadelphia. So we'll transport people who have absolutely no mobility, mm-hmm. but physiologically they need to be able to sit in the seat. So if somebody is bedbound and can't sit up at all, you know, domestically, they're going to need an air ambulance. Internationally, again, we have a lot more options. We have stretcher services we can use internationally. But still, you know, if somebody is in an ICU, you know, level state where, mm-hmm. you know, they're on life support measures, if you
sure.
will, you know, then they're going to need an air ambulance.
Yeah.
And if somebody calls in and says, you know, this is the patient, we'll sometimes have to say, look, this is not appropriate for what we do.
Sure. You need a higher level of care.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. But I do want to come back to the example you mentioned a moment ago about the young man in Fiji who mm-hmm. needed to be transported from Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of an aircraft that had a PTC.
Mm-hmm.
So you have first class, you have business class, you have coach class, and you have a PTC unit. Is that fair?
Well, what they do is they take out 16 seats in the middle of the aircraft in the economy section, and they actually put up walls. Lufthansa is amazingly efficient. I asked them how long it takes them to set it up, and they said, well, they can have this thing set up and in the plane in 2.5 hours.
So they actually set it up and break it down.
They actually set it up and break it down for our own flight.
I guess that makes sense, because they want to maximize that space mm-hmm. per need.
Exactly.
And if there's not a need, then let's take it down and sell those 16 seats.
Exactly. And when we do stretcher service on the international carriers, what they'll generally do will be in the back of the aircraft on the side, and they'll take 4 rows of seats and sit the seats forward.
Yep.
And put the stretcher right on top of that, and off we go.
This is Grandpa. He lives in a nursing home in upstate New York. We want to fly Grandpa to Southern California to be closer to us, but because Grandpa is confined to a wheelchair and needs oxygen, we didn't know how we would get him here. The social worker at the nursing home told us about Flying Angels. She told us that Flying Angels transports people with medical needs on commercial airplanes, and a flight nurse stays with them the whole time. The social worker also said this service can be a fraction of the cost of a private plane. So, we called Flying Angels and were connected to a flight coordinator who collected all the information about Grandpa, his condition, and his needs. The Flying Angels coordinator worked with our nursing home, social worker, and doctor to formulate a plan to fly Grandpa to us in Southern California.
In this video, we learn how the Flying Angels team personalizes every transport to meet the specific needs of each of their clients, putting the client's care and safety at the forefront of everything they do, from airline clearances, orders from the doctors, and even ground transportation. The Flying Angels team is there each step of the way, coordinating every detail of the itinerary from bedside to bedside. And speaking of personalized treatment, let's thank the team at Wells Fargo. The people of Wells Fargo focus on performing their very best every day so they can do more for their customers and their colleagues, their communities, and their shareholders. As one of the oldest and largest financial services firms in the United States, Wells Fargo offers a variety of retail, commercial, and corporate banking services to individuals, small businesses, middle market companies, large corporations, and institutions. With offices in 37 countries, the Wells Fargo team is uniquely positioned to support their customers who conduct business around the corner and around the world. Learn more at wellsfargo.com and join me in thanking Wells Fargo for believing in us at Select Greater Philadelphia. Now let's get back to our conversation with Bob.
And Bob, I want to step back a little bit and I want to learn a little bit about Bob Batchelor. I want to hear about this kid from Northeast Philadelphia, proud graduate of Central High School, proud graduate of Penn State and of Community College of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And take us back to Northeast Philadelphia when you were at Central, or maybe even before. Did you have a sense of what you wanted to be and do? Was medical kind of touch point always part of your universe?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I had no idea. But what I did know is that I loved airports and I loved airplanes. From the time I was a kid. And I was more fascinated with the larger aircraft, commercial airlines. And I would remember on the few occasions we would travel just thinking airports were the coolest place in the world. And I always thought, wouldn't it be great if I had a job where I was in airports and I was flying?
Right.
And that was long before I ever had a glimmer of this. I graduated from Central and went off to Penn State and got my degree. And, meandered around for a few years. And being a child of the 80s, I remember economic bad times. And I always thought, well, if things go bad, I want to make sure that I have a career that I can support a family on. So I said, well, let me go to nursing school. So my mother was a nurse, but it was more a matter of, I think that would be a good thing to do and have a good skill. And I never thought I would ever make a career of it.
Right.
So I went to Community College of Philadelphia while I was doing other things and working other places, wound up graduating from it. It took a year before I worked because there was a fire in Harrisburg that burned up a lot of records. So it took a long time before I could take my NCLEX testing. But I wound up after that, wound up getting a job at Einstein Hospital up here on Broad Street.
Sure.
Working in the surgical trauma ICU. And I thought that was a lot of fun. I did that for about 2 years. And then I went off and became an independent contractor and just worked all over the city. And I just thought that was the most fun I'd ever had. Worked in some of the terrific hospitals. Spent 4.5 years at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania as an independent contractor. Every 6 weeks, they would ask me if I was staying. And I'd say, well, you're throwing me out? And they would say, no. And I said, well, I'm staying.
Right.
So had a great time there. One of the best hospitals in the world, I think, right here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, then I wound up falling into this. And my dream of working in an airport and flying on commercial airlines kind of came true.
So I want to come back to the falling into this part in a moment. But if I'm not being too nuanced here, you survived 4 years at Penn State with a focus on physical sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a vision of what you wanted to do, or when did nursing actually click for you?
You know, what's funny is even when I was in college, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Which is totally normal, by the way.
I was a late bloomer, which is only fascinating because all three of my children, two of whom have already graduated from Penn State, one's a master of the universe in business out in California. One's doing computer work here in Philadelphia. And my son, who I swear going into college was going to major in Xbox, and was going to be like his dad, he's in his senior year in aerospace engineering.
Nice.
So my greatest surprise. But unlike the three of them, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I came out of college.
Right. Well, you must have provided some guidance to them because sounds like they're on a track that's reasonably focused.
Yeah. I think it is. They're all brilliant, brilliant kids. And I think they get that from their mother.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things, Bob, that I observed is you achieve something called a certified flight registered nurse. I guess it's a certificate, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that and being a nurse, a regular nurse, a traditional nurse, if you will?
Well, when you finish nursing school, you get your RN. Mm-hmm. And then from beyond that, you can get your certifications. And most specialties offer certifications. Operating room nurses get their operating nurse certification. Chemotherapy nurses can get their chemotherapy certification. I was in the critical care track, so I went off and got my critical care certification. And then when I started flying, I got my certified flight registered nurse certification. And I even collected along the way a certified dementia practitioner, since we deal with a lot of dementia patients.
Sure. Yep. So is that certification required to be, one of the team members at Flying Angels?
It's not required, but we do encourage it and we do recommend it and we do support our nurses who are trying to go get it.
That makes sense. Falling into it. So you referenced, I kind of fell into this thing. How do you fall into something like this? I mean, were you exposed to it beyond that opportunity where your friend said, hey, Bob, would you like to fly up to Toronto with my grandfather?
No, that was actually the first time I had done it. Now, as an independent contractor, I had done some ground ambulance work. as a transport nurse riding around. And I'll be fair, riding around in the back of a box is not much fun. So I really didn't think that was the way I was going to go. I'm not a tremendous adrenaline junkie, but I kind of fell into, you know, it was that one experience where yep. I had this opportunity to fly somebody.
Yep.
And, you know, even while I was doing it, I was thinking it was fun. But when the emergency happened, you know, that's when it kicked in. That's yeah. when it said, you know what, this is what I want to do for the rest of my career.
Right. You had mentioned elderly gentleman with dementia, mm-hmm. young man with a serious spinal injury, young lady with a fractured pelvis. Is there a situation that really stands out for you, a story of a patient that really touched you and your team?
Absolutely. One of the ones that touches me, you know, me personally was a hospice case that we did. It was a young woman who was here, and she was here alone. She was from the old Soviet Republic of Georgia, and she had cancer, and she was going to pass, and the hospital said, you know, she might have a week on the outside. And I said, well, I'll transport her myself because, you know, she was so sick. And it was a lot of work. She was pretty sick. We got her home, flew her into Tbilisi, the airport there in Georgia, took her to the hospital, and there must have been 50 people there just to greet her. And it was the most tear-jerking event that she'd ever seen. And this was 7 o'clock at night, and I said my goodbyes and I went to my hotel. And the next morning I said, well, let me just stop by the hospital and say goodbye and, you know, get back on my flight back to the U.S. And I found that she had passed at 11 o'clock that night. So got her in there at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
She said her goodbyes to yeah. her family and was dead by 11 o'clock. That,
right.
I'll admit that kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies only yeah. because I was entirely too close. But
well,
we got her. You know, we got her there. That was my mission in life.
Yeah.
You know, for that 24-hour period was to get her home.
Totally. And, you know, I wasn't there, obviously, but I can only imagine that this woman was waiting for you to deliver on your vision and mm-hmm. your mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all timing. It was mental timing on her part, I
yes.
suspect. And I suspect you feel that in different ways as well.
I do. You yeah. know, and I talk to a lot of hospice folks, and they'll say people will hang on.
Yeah.
You know, until they do the thing that they want to do or say the goodbye that they need
yeah.
to say goodbye.
They're ready.
To.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So, Bob Batchelor, where will Flying Angels be in 3 years from now, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now? No pressure.
No pressure at all. Well, you know, my goal would be still headquartered here in Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. It's my hometown. My goal is just to bring more nurses on. And my goal is to make sure that anybody who needs our service can find us and that we can be there for anybody who needs us. You know, whether that means having a staff of 200 or 1,000, or whether that means, you know, doing 500 or, you know, 5,000 cases.
Yeah.
That's our goal. It's not a numeric, I want to fly this many flights. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of, I want to make sure that anybody who needs our service can find us, knows how to reach us,
mm-hmm.
and can utilize us.
And I love that perspective you just shared, because it's not necessarily about the number of flights. It's certainly about growing the business,
mm-hmm.
but it's about growing the business for the service of others.
Yes.
That's really significant. It really is. Bob, what kind of advice do you give to, I'm going to put this into two different buckets. What kind of advice do you give to a young person who's, you know, at Central High School and they're thinking about their career path? Maybe it's not college for them. Maybe it's a vocational approach. Maybe it's a certificate training program. Maybe it's entering the workforce directly. But based on your experiences throughout your career, what kind of advice do you give to a young person who's kind of thinking about how to best navigate their career path?
Find something that you love. Find something that you're very, very passionate about and go for it. Going into healthcare is not a bad start. I'm a strong proponent of people going into nursing school, and I'm going to give a shout out to Community College of Philadelphia. I think they run an absolutely terrific program. One of the things about nursing that I absolutely love is that you can get in on a 2-year associate's degree program
mm-hmm.
and start out that way. So if somebody has limited means, you know, don't look at the expensive colleges to go to nursing school. Look at the community colleges. Look at Community College of Philadelphia. Look at Delco.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Monco. They have terrific programs. You can get into the field. You can start making money. And then what I would also do is say, make sure you continue on with your education. Then you can go on and get your bachelor's degree if you want, and get your master's degree if you choose to go that path.
Sure.
But it's a relatively easy way to get in and start that profession. And, you know, even if somebody wants to start as a CNA or other aide, I mean, there's plenty of ways to get into the healthcare industry and say, is this something that I want to do? you can start at even the unskilled level.
Right.
And then say, this is what I want to do. And then you can go to school while you're doing other things.
Certified nursing assistant, CNA, yes. Right? That's a good way to get your feet wet and say, is this industry for me?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
So that's a good transition to the second part of my advice bucket, if you will. What do you tell people in the healthcare industry? They have their CNA or they have their basic nursing degree. Navigating that world of, do I want to be in trauma? Do I want to be in a nursing home facility? What's your guidance to a young person in that kind of situation? Or frankly, anybody. It doesn't matter about their age, right?
No, it absolutely doesn't. Absolutely, you know, go for your certifications, regardless of what you're in, what your particular field is, or what your specialty is. Continue your educational path in nursing, you know, whether you're in the operating room or whether you're working with chemotherapy. Get your certifications, get your bachelor's, get your master's. You know, the medical field is wonderful. I think if I had any criticism of it is people tend to give you credibility if you have more letters after your name.
Right.
So just, you know, add all those certifications. And the more certifications you have, the more options are open to you. We probably at Flying Angels get 12 to 20 well-qualified applicants a week to do what we do. And I would love to hire them all. Again, you know, when you get back to the growth,
yeah,
our growth would not be limited for lack of staff. I probably have an inch thick pile of resumes of people who are absolutely fantastically qualified.
Yeah.
To do what we need to do. And again, I would hire them all if I could, but I couldn't keep them all busy at this point.
Right. Totally. So, and I love your original piece of advice, which is find something you love to do, because then it's not work. You know, it's something you really enjoy.
Well, I think a wise man once said that if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's exactly right. So, Bob, I want to ask this wrap-up question. What do you want people to know about Flying Angels?
I want them to know we're there. I want them to know that we're an option, we're a resource. We're not always the best fit for everybody, but if they reach out to us and we're not the best fit for them, we'll make sure we find who the best fit for them is, even if it's not us.
The personalized service, an extraordinary level of care that Bob and his team provide their clients, it's truly incredible and inspiring. And Flying Angels is a distinct and growing business that helps people around the world by offering an innovative service. As we head into the holiday season, we here at Growing Greater extend a special thanks to you, our listeners, for helping to make the Growing Greater podcast, well, great. We look forward to bringing you more stories of how innovators, entrepreneurs, and leaders are turning concepts into reality, building legacies for tomorrow, and developing new ways of thinking, working, and doing business in 2020 and beyond. If you like this Flying Angel story, be sure to check out other inspiring episodes of our Growing Greater podcast at radio.com, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or at selectgreaterphl.com/podcast. And be sure to rate and review our podcast and share it with friends and colleagues and family and through social media too. And as we wrap this episode, let's thank the team at Newmark Knight Frank. Their support is helping us attract new companies and new jobs to our greater Philadelphia community. Thinking differently, sharing great ideas, and offering thoughtful and innovative advice that helps to advance the success of their clients. Well, that is the Newmark Knight Frank way. With roots dating back to 1929, Newmark Knight Frank is one of the most successful global commercial real estate advisory firms. 16,000 professionals operating out of 430 offices on six continents. With an enterprising culture and a fully integrated platform of services, Newmark Knight Frank professionals provide clients with a single source solution for every phase of owning or occupying a property, from strategic planning, site selection, design, construction, and initial occupancy to ongoing cost-effective operations. Learn more at ngkf.com. That's ngkf.com. And join me in thanking Newmark Knight Frank for believing in us at Select Greater Philadelphia. Growing Greater is presented by Select Greater Philadelphia, a council of our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia. Select is the business attraction organization for Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania, and helps to grow the economic vibrancy of our collective community by attracting new businesses and new jobs to our region. Special thanks to our program producers, Elena Karmazin and Maricela Juarez, along with the great team of marketing and creative services professionals at our chamber. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in anytime and anywhere you get your podcasts or online at selectgreaterphl.com/podcast.